All right, Soup's here.
What's up, my guys?
What's good? Two Guns not here yet, so.
Oh, okay. Well, what's up, my guy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Just chilling, man. Ready to start the show, you know?
Right. Actually, I might just go ahead and start the show right now because sometimes Two Guns shows up late. Anybody who's heard the show knows that Two Guns shows up late sometimes. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, cool. But what I said is, for anybody who listens to the show knows that Two Guns shows up late a lot of the times. So, okay. I'm going to introduce myself. This is Digga Jones. Two Gun Tony is not here yet, and this is Digging Two Guns News and Views, and we got a special guest here today.
What's up, everybody?
He has his own podcast, yep. And his name is Soup.
Well, you know, I go by Soup Forever.
Excuse me.
It's cool. You know, it's like a little stage name. But yeah, everybody call me Soup, man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I host the MID podcast show. You can also pick that up on Spotify, Apple Music, and Google.
Anywhere Play. Podcasts are heard.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, introduce yourself. Like, tell them who you are, what you do.
Okay. I'm originally from St. Simon's Island, Georgia, a little bit above Jacksonville. But I'm in the Army right now, man. I'm stationed here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, at Fort Bragg. Been here for a while. Almost majority of my career, though, man. I took a break with the Hawaii, but now I'm back over here. You know what I'm saying? It's like my second home, though. Fayetteville's definitely my second home.
Right, so you're back down south.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I was raised in the South, man. I've been around a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I was in the military at my younger careers. I mean, when I was younger, I meant to say. But yeah, I'm down here.
All right, tell people about your podcast and what you have to offer and so why they should listen.
So basically, I heard a lot of people podcasts. That, you know, I kind of try to follow people podcasts, see how they doing stuff. My podcast is really just talking shit, man. Anything that's going on in the media, anything that happened in the news or we just be shooting the shit sometimes, man. We just go in there, man, turn the mics on, and whatever come to mind, man, we just go talk about it, man. It's more like a comedy podcast than anything.
I got you. So out of all the topics or shows that you've done, which one has been your favorite?
Oh, man. Ooh, that's a hard one right there.
Because Two Gun and I, we have some off-subject, you know, material that we don't talk about. Like, we don't discuss R. Kelly at all.
Why?
Okay. Like, with tonight, like, what's it called? The R. Kelly docuseries comes on Lifetime tonight, right?
Yep.
And what we always say is, R. Kelly's one of our taboo topics. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we always said was, I always say is, R. Kelly was good to me until 2001.
Okay.
No, 2002, that's when the allegation happened.
Yeah.
So, what 2002 did is it made me analyze a lot of his music even deeper, because you got to understand, my ex was pregnant with a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, now me being a man having a daughter, I analyze his music a lot differently.
Yeah, I feel you.
So, when he said lines like, "It seems like you're ready," the title of the song, "Seems Like You're Ready." Think about it now.
Yeah.
And then he has a line in the song, it's like, "Your body is a playground. Let me lick you up and down."
Yeah, I got you.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he co-wrote Aaliyah's "Age Ain't Nothing But a Number."
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of shit that you don't think about.
The thing is, man, like, I was so young when Aaliyah... I mean, I was old enough to know Aaliyah and R. Kelly, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But like, those words didn't really hit me until I got older. Just like you. You know what I'm saying? You got a daughter now. But then after the allegations came out, but people were still blind to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a whole Boondocks episode. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? You watched that about that.
Oh, that's a fucking loop.
Yeah. His music's so good, everybody, you know, black people like, nah, let me get some good though, man. Once the music plays, I kind of forget everything that's going on. But as we get older, you know, especially when I hit my 30s, now I'm like you now. You know, I don't like when people play the songs around me. You know what I'm saying? Even though he got some, oh my God, he got some crazy ass hits.
So,
but yeah, go ahead.
So I mean, like, another thing about, you know, the whole R. Kelly situation is, you know, he released a song last summer called I Admit, right?
Yeah. That shit was like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So when me and my brother, my cousin Ronaldo, and my homeboy Rich, we were in Las Vegas and we were on our way to Arizona,
mm-hmm.
right? So we just said, you know what? We got a 4-hour trip. Why don't we listen to this track and see what this guy's talking about? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
So he has a line where you could tell it was like strictly edited, right?
Yeah.
Where he said, you know, I did it. Mm-hmm. I admit I touched these. And it sounds like he's about to say children, but he goes, women. I was like, what? You know what I mean?
That was because somebody was in the studio like, nah, nigga, don't say that.
Exactly.
Nah, nigga, like, take that out.
Yeah, the DA was in the studio like, oh, yeah. We got this nigga now.
You know, he made that song with his lawyer sitting right next to him. Like, nah, don't say that, Mr. Robert. Don't say that.
So, and then, you know, it's just, you know, at first when I started to give the guy credit, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this was a fluke, so on and so on. Oh, this guy has sex slaves.
Oh, yeah.
Because he released, he released two albums that were, you know, not bad. You know, mm-hmm. Love Letter and Write Me Back, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, this man's returning back to full form.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe these allegations were just that. Allegations. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the whole sex slave and sex cults. I'm like, you know what? My intuition was already right about this guy.
But this is the thing, man. He married a 15-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean, from the jump. You know, when people... You know, I talk to people a lot, you know what I'm saying? I'm still going to go to his concerts and da da da. I'm like, man, I don't know how y'all can still support this guy, right? Especially with all these other things that's popping up, the sex slave, the whole the trap house with all the girls in it.
The recruiting in Africa?
You know, on my my last podcast show, I kept playing that damn, you know, did you get your shots? You know what I'm saying? I was like, this dude is really trying to recruit. You know what I'm saying, girls from Africa. But as I get older, I'm thinking like, damn, from the jump, we should have wrote him off when he married Aaliyah.
Exactly. But here's the thing about, you know, I'm not saying black people, but people who are in love with an artist in general.
Yep.
This artist does no wrong. Like Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Hella allegations.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everybody hates me when I say this. But I wrote Michael off for a time.
I mean, me too. I still did.
And even after his death, it was just like, you know what? I listened to his discography until Dangerous.
Yeah.
Not saying that History was a bad CD or anything, but... excuse me.
You good.
That's when shit started happening. It's just like, okay, so when the first kid came up for it, you're just like, maybe Michael likes, you know... the company of little kids. This guy used to hang out with Webster.
He never had a childhood. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But what was it? He was speaking to Ed Bradley on 60 minute special, right?
Yeah.
Ed Bradley said, now Michael, do you like sleeping with kids? Michael says, yes.
Strongly too.
Yeah. Yes. So Ed Bradley's just like, you know, I'm not talking in a sexual sense, but, and Michael said, there's nothing more beautiful than sharing your bed with a child.
Oh my God.
After that, my daughter was born at this point. I'm like, I'm done with this guy.
Yeah. Man, I'm gonna be honest with you, man.
What's that?
I'm not super pro black, but, and I know you don't want to kind of like wrap black people into like one category.
Exactly.
But I always tell, like, you know, my friends and stuff, like, you know, black people always support the black people that don't want to be black no more.
That's, you know, true. What I'm
saying? Michael Jackson damn near dyed his skin to look like a ghouly ghost. And they still was like, nah, he's da da da. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to even have black kids. Because those kids ain't his. I don't care what anybody's saying.
Oh, fuck no.
Those kids are adopted. Right? But it's cool. But I always tell people, like, he slept with children in the bed. His house was built... for children.
An amusement park.
Yeah, a music park. right? He didn't want to be black no more. Everybody want to try to, this is what black people come in like, nah, he had a skin condition and he wanted to, I'm like, man, fuck all that, man. Listen, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I have eczema and vitiligo in some parts of my body.
Gotcha.
Never has my vitiligo turned my whole body white.
Yeah. And
I mean,
and I'm not going to deny his music. You know what I mean? He's a legend. You know, but we got to start holding these celebrities accountable. It goes back to R. Kelly, man. We got to stop being blindfolded. We got to hold these celebrities accountable.
No, but this is what I told 2 Gun earlier this evening, because 2 Gun texted me, said, you know, the R. Kelly special is coming on Lifetime. And I said, dude, you know how I feel about R. Kelly. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, but R. Kelly's lawyers want to put a stop to this film, and R. Kelly wants to cease and desist. At that point, yeah. I was intrigued and interested.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, yeah. I'm going to watch it.
Because, you know, people don't want to put a cease and desist or a gag order on anything unless there's something incriminating.
Well, I mean, to his to Kelly's defense, it doesn't matter what the documentary is about. If as me as a celebrity, if I know it's something that's bad, whether it's true or not, I'm going to try to do a fucking cease and desist on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still got a career that I have to worry about, you know. But go ahead, though.
Has R. Kelly been let's talk about that. Has R. Kelly been worried about his career?
This is the thing, man. We don't really know about him.
Think about it, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think he has, man. No, no, you know what? Nah, fuck that. I'll take that back. Because he wouldn't have had that house full of all them girls trapped in that motherfucker. If he really cared. See, that's the thing. And I know we in this mental health era.
Right.
Right? That motherfucker got a mental health problem. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not in the sense of something happened to him. That's why he this way. I'm talking about in the sense of he likes young girls. Like,
but do you call that a mental health issue?
Yeah, I mean, what else would it be? I mean, you have
I can't consider that a mental health issue, because honestly speaking, that's like, you know, I date white women sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a mental health issue. That's a personal preference.
Nah. Now, it changes when you go underage and he likes that. That's what it changes there.
I can't call it a mental issue because this man knows right from wrong.
But that's what I'm saying.
All right, here's the thing, though.
Okay.
Snoop Dogg likes smoking weed.
Uh-huh.
He knows it's illegal, but he still does it. Right. That's not a mental health issue.
Look, you being a grown man and want to date a 15-year-old child, teenager, that's a mental issue, man.
I can't call that a mental issue.
But this is the thing. And he has daughters.
He knows better.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he knows better because he keeps doing it.
Okay.
All right. It's like a dude. All right. It's like a man watching kiddie porn. He know it's wrong, but his mental state is so fucked up. He has to watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has to. I love to watch, you know, little girls do whatever. You know what I'm saying? That is a mental issue for a grown ass man to be watching kiddie porn.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to incriminate myself for a little bit.
Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll masturbate, but I know I can't do it at work.
Well, yeah. Well. What nigga don't masturbate? You know, exactly. A nigga lied to me and say he don't masturbate, but it's the thing. Are you ain't looking up 13-year-old girls swimming in a swimming pool?
Oh, fuck no.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, but if you was looking up that.
Because I know right from wrong.
But that's what I'm saying. The mental issue part comes with when you can't help yourself but to look at a 13-year-old girl.
Okay, well. Let me stop you right there. Remember when R. Kelly had an interview with interviewer Torre?
Yeah.
What did Torre ask him?
And I remember that one. Do you like dating teenagers? And then he hit the whole. I mean, what
when
age
you say
about?
Teenagers? You what age are you talking about? Now, that is not.
I got you. I'm not gonna front.
That's not how you answer the question.
That's not how you answer the question, but. You have to break down the question. Like, were you talking about 18, 19-year-old? Because technically, They're up age. And all these millionaires, they mess with 19 and 20-year-olds. I mean, 18 and 20-year-olds.
Do you know how he should have answered the question and the proper answer to the question should have been?
No. He should have been like, no.
He says, do I like dating teenagers? No. I don't date anybody under the age of 18. If it's 18 and up, you're an elite. You know, that's how you answer the question.
But
when you put yourself in a spot where you just like, and by saying teenagers, how old are we talking? Nigga, you answered the question wrong.
You already answered the question wrong.
Right now, you're looking for a shadow of a doubt.
Yo, when I saw that interview, I was like, you know when niggas do something, you be like, oh, this nigga.
Yeah, we just like, throw your hands up.
As soon as he said it, like, oh, this nigga. You could have got yourself out of it.
Exactly.
But how old are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Exactly. Like,
hey, if they're age 18, I don't mess with them. But the thing is, it's already been debunked, though. It's already been proven he likes girls under 18. He married a 15-year-old. I mean,
exactly.
He legally, on paper, married a 15-year-old.
And exactly.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to flip the script, though. I'm not even that. I mean, I'm mad at R. Kelly for that. But Aaliyah's parents should have stopped that.
Oh, no. Her parents didn't know about it. And remember, they both lied on the birth. I mean, on the marriage certificate saying that she was older than what she was.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That's predator-like behavior. I'm sorry, R. Kelly just said, hey, look, you have to say that you're XYZ.
That's a mental health issue, man.
That's not a mental health issue.
Bro, okay. You date white girls from time to time. That's predator issue.
Huh?
Well, I mean, predator and mental state is just, okay, it's like those priests molesting those kids.
I don't feel sorry for them either.
But this is the thing, that's a mental health issue. So what is your definition as a mental health issue? What's your definition on that?
All right, mental health issue is something that the brain cannot control, whether it be right or wrong.
Bro, you just answered the question. You just caveated what I just said. It doesn't matter if they know if it's right or wrong. They might know it's right or wrong, but the brain, the mental part of it, they can't control that obsession of messing with little boys or messing with little girls. You know what I'm saying? So it ties into that. They need help.
Like, here's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
I watch a show, To Catch a Predator, all the time.
I just watched that shit the other day for no reason.
Listen, I was at my job, supposed to be working, and I watched it for like 4 hours.
Yeah, like, it just keep going. You be like, let me see what this next thing is going to do. Yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Like, R. Kelly displays a lot of their behaviors. Oh, well, I didn't know how old they were. And the screenshots that they said they were this age. You know what I mean?
He got the whole transcript. Like, well, you say you want to lick peanut butter off her left butt cheek. Exactly. What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, anytime I see R. Kelly, that's what I picture. Like, the whole court case with the 15-year-old where they got him on video.
On video.
Oh, that's not me.
But this is the thing. That's the second. Look, bro, we should have wrote that motherfucker off.
He was already written off by me then.
I think, but you know what? I think his career took a hit at that point, though. I really do.
No, I can't say it took a hit. Do you know why?
What's up?
Because he still had four multi-platinum and gold albums after that.
Yeah. He's good.
You understand, R. Kelly does not sell in the suburbs.
You're right. We the one buying it. We are the one buying it.
When you look at Eminem selling 10 million albums,
mm-hmm.
two albums in a row.
That's in the suburbs.
Part of that is in the suburbs. Part of that's in the trailer park. Other mm-hmm. parts, in the urban neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
R. Kelly is not sold in the trailer parks.
No, he's not.
R. Kelly is sold in the suburbs at best.
Yeah. I feel you.
You know what I mean? But, like, anytime Jay-Z writes himself off away from you, especially a major moneymaker,
mm-hmm.
you fucked up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta understand, even on the Fade to Black tour, Jay-Z says he was very uncomfortable working around R. Kelly with all the allegations, because he said people associate with like-minded people.
Yeah.
And he did not want to be associated or characterized as somebody who likes somebody younger. Now, mind you, even when Jay-Z dated Beyonce, Jay-Z did say in a statement, you know, I was 27, you were 18, you know, well, like I was, you know, 30.
No, they're 30. Yeah, he was in his 30s, definitely.
Yeah, I was 30-something, you were 18, and, you know, I admired you from afar, so on and so on, but she was still legal.
Yeah, she was still legal at the end of the day.
Like, if Jay-Z said, you know, I was watching you since the No 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 video when she was 16, that's a fucking problem.
But think about it, man. Think about the shit Jay-Z might have seen backstage on that Best of Both Worlds tour. He's trying to see like a whole bunch of 50-year-olds running around. He was like, you know what, my guy? I got to get up out of here.
Exactly.
And it goes deeper than that, too. You know, Dame Dash dated Aaliyah.
He did, you know what I'm
saying? So that might, you know, that whole thing might go a little deeper, you know what I'm saying, in the sense of Jay-Z might have seen him do some real foul shit. And even though his love for Aaliyah, because of the Dame Dash situation when it was all close, he might have felt some type of way. You know, so that mean, you know, that whole Jay-Z arc, that thing go a little deeper. But you know, when the Best of Both Worlds came out, I almost wrote Jay-Z off though.
No, when the Best of Both Worlds came out, I couldn't write Jay-Z off at that point in time because he was still big on the Blueprint.
He was.
And my mind, because you know, I was in the military at this time, right?
Yeah.
My whole mind is, you know what? R. Kelly's just a feature, you know, just a, you know, these two guys are at the top of their craft and nobody has ever had the king of R&B at the time and the king of hip hop at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has ever thought about doing a whole joint album. So mm-hmm. I was excited about it. So when I first heard the song Best of Both Worlds on the radio, I'm like, oh shit.
Oh, this
like this is really happening. Yeah. And what happened a week before the album came out? The allegations. The allegations almost had me not buy the album.
Well, I think the album was garbage, really. But
I thought both of them was garbage.
You're right. Yeah, it was two. No, because
I listened to the Best of Both Worlds 2 about 2 months ago, and I called my brother and I just said, you know what? I slept on the CD. There's some good tracks on there, but still fuck R. Kelly. You know, but still fuck R. Kelly.
I'm definitely on that.
Yeah, and well, you know,
yeah. Go ahead.
This is the longest time I've ever talked about R. Kelly on my podcast. And that's fucking weird.
You're talking to the right one. R. Kelly is, look, man, the whole thing about R. Kelly is we got blinded by his music. And I'm not even going to deny that. But I was also young. So I didn't really get it until
R. Kelly's like that. R. Kelly's like that abusive boyfriend that's like, I'll never do it again. And something comes out a month later.
And do it again. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then he'll sing his way up out of it. Because that motherfucker got some good-ass music. I'm not even going to front. I mean, I just hate that he is that way. Because, go ahead, my bad.
It's just so funny because, you know, we had a work function last year for Father's Day, right? Where we invited fathers out and their kids, and we were doing a family fun day, right?
Yeah.
And somebody played a song off of his album, The Buffet, which I've never listened to in my life, right?
Yeah.
The moment I heard his voice, whoa! I was like, oh, shit. No.
Oh, shit.
Right? But here's the thing. All the fathers and their children and the girlfriends and wives were, like, stepping and dancing and shit. Yeah. And then I'm just like, all right, cool. Well, R. Kelly, you know, got the fathers to dancing until you listen to the lyrics of the song. It was something you know, sex down the hallway. I want to wake up the children. I'm like, what?
What? What? What are you talking about? As we get older, we start like really knowing about lyrics.
And you start analyzing that shit.
I'm going to give you one more better, though.
Go ahead.
What he called himself, the Pied Piper or whatever R&B.
That's what I always say, the Pied Piper of R&B.
When you
look at the story of the Pied Piper, the Pied Piper played a flute in the neighborhood to get the neighborhood kids dancing.
To follow him.
And they followed him out the neighborhood.
The signs were there. The signs was there, but we never paid attention. We were just oblivious to it because his music was so damn good. It's almost like his music was the pipe, was the little flute thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll play the flute, and then we'd be all hypnotized. You know what I'm saying? And Like, man, it's just crazy. The signs was there, and we was oblivious to the whole situation.
No, and he said in one song, I cannot remember what it is at this point in time, excuse me, where he was just like, you know, even the law can't break us up. Like, nigga, what? Yeah,
what, nigga, what? What are you doing? he talking about the damn system now. Oh, my God.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So.
That is crazy. The signs were there. Subliminally, he was giving us all the clues. And exactly. He was like, yo, that shit hard. Play that back.
Yeah, it's just like Blue's Clues. We saw the blue paw print, but we never paid attention.
Yeah, like it's crazy. And you know, I'm 34 now, man. I listen to his music and I just analyze the whole damn thing. Like, look at this nigga. Look what he said right here.
It's just like, you know, the signs were there with Frank Ocean also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the thing about Frank Ocean is he has a song called Songs for Women, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's so funny because, you know, when the first verse, he has this girl he frequents, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he rides in her car after school, so on and so on, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, every time somebody asks me if I write songs to sing it, you know, write songs for women, I say, yeah. And they're like, no fair, no fair, that's cheating. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. well. But in the second verse, he's like, now when everybody asks me, do I write songs for women? I say, no. I'm like,
I got a confession, though. I got a confession. My nigga. When that nigga, what's that album called?
Channel Orange.
Channel Orange. And I have a confession, though, man. But I can't listen to the song to this day. That song, fucking Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Oh, my God. The song's so fucking good. But I know what it's about. I know what he's talking about. But it's so damn good. So I have to secretly ride around in my wheel.
listen.
Before those,
That I will quote the song, but I won't say going through my mind, boy. I'm like, you're going through my mind, yeah.
Yeah. No, the point he was like, ooh, you so strong. I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm riding around in my whip like, I can't believe I just sold this gay-ass song. But it's a good song. It's an excellent song. It's an excellent song, man.
But, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
That breaks the stigma because we always said, you know, if we have a gay hip hop artist or a gay singer, how will we respond? But people don't realize we've been singing along to gay singers for a long time.
For a long time.
Like, I'll sing the fuck out of Benny and the Jets.
There you go.
I will sing the fuck out
to this
of
day.
Any,
yeah.
I will sing the fuck out of any Luther Vandross song.
Yeah, there you go. I played one of his songs on my podcast. Like, you can't deny the music. And that's where it changes at, right? If you're a person that's just into music, it doesn't matter what they do.
Sexuality.
You know, sexuality-wise, what race they is, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So when I tell people about that Channel Orange album, I tell them straight up, man, that was like one of the hardest albums I heard from an R&B singer. In a while, it's like in my top, you know what I'm saying?
Like, Channel Orange, in my opinion, with To Pimp a Butterfly, is in my top two favorite CDs in the last 10 years.
Well, I can't get on To Pimp the Butterfly. I can't get on To Pimp the Butterfly too much.
Stop it.
I mean, it's a good, it's an artistic album. I give him that. I think he was trying something new on there.
But this is me.
But at the end of the day, I am a fan of Kendrick Lamar. Hardcore. I'm a hardcore fan of Kendrick Lamar at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? And I think when we get into hardcore fans, we can hate an album but still love them. You know what I'm saying? Like, because Kingdom Come is going to be my Jay-Z album that I just cannot. I don't know what he was doing with that. I got it. He was just coming back.
Okay, yeah. Like,
I feel you.
I'm a huge Scarface fan. Scarface is my favorite rapper of all time.
Okay, I got you.
But I can't listen to the World Is Yours album. That is a stain in his discography.
I got you. I mean, if you want to do it like that, that is that album. I give you that one.
When you listen to Scarface's discography, and you know, I love talking about Scarface. You've listened to the show. You've heard me mention Scarface on almost every show. I love listening to Scarface. Mm-hmm. But when I get to the World Is Yours album, there is what we were talking about the other day, the skip factor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, we didn't talk about this on the show. Me and Two Gun didn't talk about this on the show. We talked about this on the phone.
But I feel what you're talking about.
What the skip factor is good song, good song, good song. All right, I'm going to skip this track.
We on the same level, bro.
skip this track. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, that's the only Scarface album I can put in, but I can't listen to from beginning to end. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that album, but.
I got you. So that's how I judge a classic album. Like,
oh yeah, we could talk about classics all day.
Yeah, but say that's how I judge a classic album. How many times I hit the skip button?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm listening to the album, let's say you got 14 tracks on it, right?
Yeah.
And then I didn't skip to like track 10. Oh, that's a classic album.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I'm like, oh, I only skipped one time. But I feel you on that one. I feel you on that one with that album. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. I want you to name me three classic albums right now and see if they're debatable.
Oh, man. That's...
I hate to put you on the spot, but, you know, man, that's how this podcast runs. There's a lot of times where I put my people on the spot.
Yeah. Like, man, I said, classic. Three
classic albums right now.
I'm trying to figure out how you want me to explain this. So this is how I do my classic albums, right? It's all... Okay. About consistency, right? If you got it's three or better. If you got three albums in a row that's classic, well, I'm going off best rapper. Okay, I'm switching the subject. All right, classic albums. It's a lot of classic albums, man. It's a lot of classic albums.
There's plenty of hip hop classics.
All right, so let's go. I'll try to explain it like this: albums that I put in that, no matter what year it is, it banging, right? So let's go Snoop Dogg Doggy Style. Let's go ahead and push that out the way. That's one of them, right?
Oh, yeah. I consider that a classic.
Yep. I can't get on Jay-Z because it's too many of them. Let me try to. All right. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go unorthodox. I'm not going to give the name that everybody want me to give. I'm just going to give, like, me growing up in the South, what I've considered was a classic album. So Doggy Style, boom. Juvenile 400 Degrees.
Okay.
400 Degrees. Mm-hmm.
All right. Go ahead.
Damn, classic albums. I'm trying not to say like Jay-Z, Kanye. Da, da, da. I'm trying not to say like the people that got like.
You're trying to step outside the box.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll give you another one. Drag On, Opposite of H2O.
Classic. Get the fuck album. Out.
It
of
doesn't
here.
Matter what year it is. It doesn't matter. Drag On, the opposite of H2O, classic album. The skip rate on there, I have one skip song, and I can't remember that song.
Oh, don't tell me the track "The Way Life Is" because that was my jam.
No, that's the jam on there. I can't
Case
think of the
killed
song.
That hook,
man. I can't think of the song that I always skip. Maybe it's probably "I Love These Hoes." Yeah, I love these hoes. That's probably the one song, but I still bump that too, though.
But here's the thing about. Like, you would not expect anybody to say Drag On the opposite of H2O.
Bro, Drag On or H2O brought me back to a moment in time, especially when I was a big Rough Rider fanatic.
Okay.
And I always looked at Drag On, because to me, Drag On was the hardest nigga spitting out the camp. To me, personally, right? Because he was just hungry.
He was like a little DMX.
Yeah, go ahead.
He was the best spitter in the camp, but not the greatest lyricist.
See, but it's the thing, man. I think different. Okay. When you talk about lyricists, well, okay, it's two types of lyricists to me. Right?
Okay. Go ahead.
The locks, DMX, I might put them above them because when they albums, they told stories. That's a good lyricist to me. DMX told stories.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? About this how is, he. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
But this is how I list Drag On.
Yeah.
Drag On was a rapper / entertainer.
What he did
was entertainment. He entertained you. He was able to keep your attention throughout a whole CD.
Because he had shock bars.
Exactly. But when it came to lyrics, I couldn't consider him a lyricist. Is he a spitter? All day.
Because because you got to think about it, his lyrics was like a battle rapper lyrics, though. Like, he was like a battle rapper. All his bars was about the most unique way he gonna kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, his whole album was about 500,000 different ways to kill you, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? And that's how battle rappers rap.
Like,
you know what
I'm saying? When I first heard Twisted Heat on the Rough Riders Volume 2 album,
mm-hmm.
I think he out rapped Twista.
And that's what I'm talking about, him being the lyricist. He showed you different forms of him. Not only I can just spit bars, I can rap fast. Yeah. I can do anything you want me to do, basically. Right?
Yeah.
Just like the song, people come, people go.
The way life is. Like, that's my shit.
Yeah. He giving you a story about his project area. Like he had all of it. He just couldn't capitalize off of it. When Drago got on the track, he stood out, man. It don't matter who track he was on, he stood out. When Drago spit, you knew that was Drago. Drago came hard. He came hard, man.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of like, you don't think he's a lyricist, but I think he's one of the best lyricists that was on that camp. When Drago got on the track, he killed it, murdered it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, back to the whole discussion, up to the H2O, I could play that right now, nigga, and I'm going to zone out.
All right.
Just off his bars. Shit.
So he said Doggy Style. 400
yeah, Doggy degrees. Style. 400 degrees. Drag on. And everybody out there in podcast, man, I'm not naming the usual suspects. I'm not going to name Outkast. You know what I'm saying? It's a gimme.
Right.
I'm not going to name Jay-Z. I'm trying to give y'all some other people that I feel like had classic albums.
Right.
I'm gonna give you an
mm-hmm. underrated classic that a lot of people has not heard, but I really want you to listen to after I say it. Like, and me and Two Gun talk about this like maybe once every 3 months.
Yeah.
Fat Joe's Don Cartagena.
I give you that one. But see, I was more Fat Joe Jose. That was me though.
Oh.
Jealous One Still Envy. That was more my album.
Let me tell you why Jose wasn't that great of a Fat Joe album.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, because that's when Fat Joe hit the pulse on what was popular.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always knew Joe Cartagena as Flo Joe, you know?
Yeah.
This guy could spit, but nobody was really mm-hmm. paying him attention. Now, what happened was when he released Jealous One Still Envy,
mm-hmm.
a playoff of the 1995 Jealous One's Envy.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, when he did I'm Jealous One Still Envy, he figured out.
Yeah. Not the Still Envy one. I'm talking about the first one.
Oh, you're talking about Jealous One's Envy. Okay.
Yeah. I'm talking about the original.
Okay. The one where DJ Premier did most of the production. I will give you that.
Because I'm a sample guy.
I will give you that then. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's an underrated classic.
Mm-hmm.
But when, I mean, there was something about Don Cartagena that just like, everything started to align up with what Fat Joe meant to me at that time.
I got you.
So when you listen to tracks like, you know, My World, which, you know, Pun was doing a hook. Well, Pun did a lot of hooks on the album.
Yeah.
Where Pun was doing a hook and then John Blaze followed soon after. Mm. Oh, my God. Now, like, when I say that album was heavily underrated, everybody said, oh, but the album went gold. I said, everything in 98 and 99 was going gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I see. Yeah. What's that, 500,000?
Yeah, 500,000 units.
Yeah.
And you got to understand, people were doing 500,000 units in 1 week in the 90s.
Yep.
Like, there was a time where Juvenile's 400 Degrees in 98?
Yep.
Was doing 400,000 copies for almost 3 months straight.
Yeah. I won't say nine. But yeah, you're right.
But it did 400,000 copies for 3 months straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like mm-hmm. him going gold, that was like a little underachieving at that time. But still.
Really?
No, seriously, it was.
I thought gold was the shit back in those days.
Oh, no. You got to understand, like, look at CDs like Master P's The Last Don, 6 million copies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was P, though.
Like, all right, well,
I thought Master P TRU album too. You know what I'm saying?
Classic. TRU's True to the Game.
Mm-hmm.
Another double platinum CD. That's No Limit's first multi platinum CD.
Yep.
Trust me, I'm a No Limit fan. I did a whole No Limit show.
I mean, you better be. You from South Cat.
Right. Know what I'm I did a whole No Limit show. You know what I mean?
I got you.
But when you look at the Don Cartagena album, that was underwhelming for what the late 90s were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like I listened to it for the first time in almost 10 years, a few years ago, right? And, you know, as you get older, you start analyzing lyrics more. You start listening for, you know, certain things that you couldn't hear in your 20s or, you know, teenage years. Yeah. And when I was like, yo, this dude is spitting. The only shitty thing about that whole CD was the intro. Like the CD. The CD intro was terrible.
Yeah, it was. It was. That was a skip.
Yeah, the CD intro was terrible, but the rest of the CD was flames.
Yeah, I got you.
So, like, when I talk about, you know, underrated classics, like you were talking about with Drag On, let me give you three underrated classics other than Don Carter Jr.
What's up?
So, Don Carter Jr., hands down. Mm-hmm. And another underrated classic is BG's Checkmate.
So I'm not going to call it, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead and say what you're about to say.
Because BG classic album to me was All on You.
It's Volume 1 or 2. Volume 1 or 2. Like you can't say it's All on You when there was two volumes.
I'm gonna let you finish, man. That's a hard one.
So BG's Checkmate is my second underrated. Oh, there's Two Gun.
I know. I'm about to say, like, where Two Guns at? Goddamn.
Yeah, I had a quick little something I had to do.
Right, what's right, up, right. Two Guns? Oh, right now.
What did I miss?
I'm naming my three underrated classic albums right now.
Okay.
And I said Don Cartagena, Checkmate
by Sad Joe,
Checkmate by BG. And my last underrated classic, believe it or not, is Life or Death by C. Murder.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll give you that.
So.
I wasn't a big C. Murder fan. Ew. But out of the No Limit camp, wasn't a big C. Murder fan. But, I mean, Fuck Them Other Niggas, I mean, that's a classic.
That song was initially Snoop's song.
Because
it came out on No Limit Top Dog first, almost 6 months before he came out with it on Trapped in Crime.
Yeah.
It wasn't 6 years.
Say what?
It wasn't 6 years.
No, I said 6 months.
No.
Well, I meant to say 6 months. I might have said 6 years, pardon me. But yeah, that when I first heard that song, everybody said, "Oh, you heard that new C Murder?" I said, "Yeah, I heard that shit in May." Like,
yeah, I know. Well, you late.
Yeah, like.
So what? Let's get on Fat Joe real quick.
Okay.
Right. I think people like us, we appreciate a Fat Joe, but it's like it was kind of like Fat Joe. He was like right there, but didn't quite turn that leaf. You know what I'm saying? Because Big Pun came out of nowhere, it just shattered the game.
But here's the thing about Fat Joe, though. Fat Joe did not compromise himself until the Jealous One Still Envy album.
Okay.
And he only did that very little.
But what you mean by compromising?
Compromise. Like, he started releasing pop tracks, like the whole track What's Love with Ashanti and Ja Rule.
Well, shit, nigga, when you broke, nigga, you got the fucking...
Oh, he wasn't broke, he wasn't broke by any means.
No, people I'm not saying he was... I'm not saying he was broke. I'm saying, like, if you try to be top in the game to make money off music, you're going to have to compromise.
What
somewhere.
You fail to realize is Fat Joe was never broke. Fat Joe not only owned his Terror Squad label, he was one of the first hip hop artists to own all of his publishing. And also, I was going to say, also, he had FJ Fat 550, which was his clothing line. And. Yeah. I hate to say this, but Big Pun got fucked out of his deal where Fat Joe was seeing 80% of his money and Big Pun was only seeing 10% of his money and the other 10% was going towards, you know, towards the label. Okay. So Fat Joe had money. And then on top of that, the Terror Squad album, that remember the first Terror Squad album?
Yeah.
Went gold. And who saw 100% of the profit?
Hey, he's a good businessman, man. He's a good businessman.
Armageddon didn't see nothing. Tony Sunshine didn't see nothing, you know.
Said, oh, my God. Armageddon and Tony Sunshine.
Nobody saw you. Anything from that first Terror Squad album.
Remy Ma.
No, that was the second Terror. Remy Ma was on the second okay, Terror yeah. Squad album. The second Terror Squad album was called True Story, or based on a true story.
Go. Okay. And you know me, me being from Georgia, I caught on to him on the second Terror Squad album.
Okay, got it.
You know, I got you.
But Fat Joe is just like Baby. That's an artist you don't sign to. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I mean, you know what? I didn't know all that. I didn't even know, like, I knew Fat Joe had Terror Squad, but I didn't go deep into the whole Terror Squad thing.
All right, you gotta look at it like this. Big Pun's first album sold 3 million copies, right?
Okay.
How did this man die almost penniless?
That's crazy, man. Nobody talks about that either, man.
Nobody
talks about that.
Nobody does. So when Remy Ma, right before she re-signed to Terror Squad and found out the music business, she went to prison broke.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Terror Squad had plenty of talented artists. Cuban Link, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, Cuban Link. Yeah.
Talented spitter. Mm-hmm. Made no money, absolutely no money on Terror Squad. Until he started his own record label, Mob Records.
And you got to remember, Cuban Link and Prospect was Punch people.
Exactly.
He did what?
Those were Punch people.
You're right.
So, like Fat Joe, he was making money, but when you find out a way to make Hollywood money, let me get Ja Rule on this track and do a hook and Ashanti to, you know, pop off with the hook too. Now, when he released What's Love...
You got to remember, too, that album came out on Jive?
I got to look it up. I think it was Jive.
Yeah, I got to look it up, yeah.
And the album before that was on Relativity. When you went to Jive, he went to a major label.
No, he right.
He had a major money push now.
Mm-hmm.
So you went from making money to money.
So how do y'all feel about Fat Joe really making money after Big Pun died? Everybody was like, yo, Fat Joe found Pun rhyme book. Because Fat Joe blew up after Pun died. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing, really, though.
I'm talking about, like, worldwide. He had Wayne on the track. He had The Runners, you know what I'm saying, producing the tracks. You know what I'm saying? Like, Fat Joe came out of, like, to everybody that's not really into hip-hop, he came out of nowhere to a lot of people. And I remember that era. Terror Squad era.
It was two people who got big off of what Fat Joe did. It was Fat Joe and Jim Jones.
Yeah.
It was, like, the first to go down and get beat.
Hold on. Back that up. Okay, you said they got big off Fat Joe and Big Pun.
No, I say those were, like, he designed what people are doing right now, way back then. Yep.
Okay,
down south.
He was going to Miami.
Up north people are doing that.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get misconstrued, because on my one podcast show, I solely believe that New York niggas, that they invented everything. They, like, invented everything. So,
they were like the first New York artists to go down south to get beats.
Yep.
Get those radio hits.
Yeah, I got you.
That's on Jim Jones.
You gotta understand, Servon, Mr. Servon never went gold before, right?
No.
When he had Big Pun on his album, not only did his album debut number 4 on the Billboard 200, and this is Mr. Servon.
But Pun was probably hot. At that point, though.
He was. His album went gold. And whose idea was it for him to work with a No Limit artist? It was Pun's, because Pun worked with C Murder and Pun worked with Mia X.
Okay.
So, and he said, yo, Master P paid me XYZ up front. And then I did the verse, and he paid me again on residual sales of the album. So this is what you need. This is who you need to work with.
Yeah.
Because when you think it, when you see it on paper, Mr. Servon and Big Punisher, it doesn't work.
It doesn't.
At the time.
Yeah, I mean, but still, we're going to listen to it because we're curious.
I wasn't curious. I saw the video and I'm like, this sounds like hot garbage, but you know what? I support No Limit. So
I mean, it's just like, I think Jay-Z worst verse on earth was on the Juvenile High remix.
Nope.
That's his worst verse.
Nope.
We can get into that. I don't how is that not Jay-Z worst verse?
Because you haven't heard You Know What We Bowed on Silk the Shocker album.
You come up with Jay-Z?
Yep.
What song?
You know what we doubt.
Jay-Z's on that album?
Silk the Shocker Made Man album. The song's called You Know What We Bout. Silk the Shocker has the first verse, Jay-Z has the second, Master P has the last.
Oh, I got to go look that up.
Who had the worst verse on that song?
Believe it or not, the worst verse was Master P.
Master P, you know, Jay-Z is not lyrics, man. Like
Master P.
Master P's not a lyricist, man, but Master P, he's a legend to me, because just off what he did, and he made some good music. But of course, man, he's not like. Of course, you're gonna have to. Just like on the LL Cool J 4-3-2-1 remix.
Stop it!
I'm like, Master P.
Stop it!
I was like,
he just.
I got it. I got what like, LL Cool J was trying to do.
I think Master P held his own, but like what Pun said, I mean not Pun. I'm sorry. I called Tone Pun in high school, but it's like what Tone said. I'm serious. I did. it's like what Tone said. You went down south because that was popping at the time. LL Cool J put Master P on a remix because No Limit was huge at the time. This was 98.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This was 98. When you look at the top of the rap charts in 1998, you can Wikipedia it, almost every single CD that No Limit did was on top of the R&B, you know, hip-hop charts.
Oh, yeah. Definitely remember that time.
So, and then you had, like, I think Silk the Shocker took C-Murder off the chart, and C-Murder took Master P off the chart.
Yeah.
Like,
so, I was about to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Oh, you think Master P held his own on 4-3-2-1?
Yes.
You crazy.
How am I crazy? Listen, no I am way. A No Limit head, and that's one of the best verses P has ever spit.
Me too. I'm a No Limit head. But that verse.
I got that one too.
You got a what?
That was a slap verse. That was a slap on verse. That was a check.
Thank you.
But
listen, this is why I say he held his own. Because when you listen to the caliber of artists, LL Cool J, DMX, Method Man, Redman, Master P actually Cannabis too. Master P did his best to hang with him. Granted, that's just like the guy that's on the basketball team that you put in when one of your players get tired. But the team's still winning.
No, I think it was Rich Master P on the album.
It was
Rich Master P. He was 400 million at that point. At that point, I think Master P was like, oh, nigga, you need me. I'm going to say whatever on here, nigga. That was Rich Master P on that track. Tell me I'm lying. You're lying. 400 mil back in 96.
You're lying. No, in 96, no. No.
He was 400 mil back in fucking in the 90s.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. I would not disrespect No Limit like that. Let me tell you when Master P became the 400.
I'm a No Limit fan myself.
Listen, let me tell you when Master P became the $400 million man. Master P, when he released 28 albums in 1998, and out of those 28, 20 of them went gold, platinum, or multi-platinum. You gotta say, Master P was seeing $8 per CD sold.
But all I'm saying is, when did 4-3-2-1 come out, man? That was during 98. That time. That was during time. Master P.
Collect on that money until 1999.
But I'm just saying, he didn't have to.
He was still pretty
hot. Yeah, he was hot. He didn't have to. he was P. He was P, my guy. He didn't have to spit hard on that track. And I think that's how he came on there. That nigga, I'm P. I'm richer than everybody on this track.
Like, that's a beat only few people could really rip. And the people who were on there did.
Yeah.
Master P is not a person. been on the 4th of
July. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, come on, nigga.
The time Master P held his own, listen, the only time Master P ever held his own on an Up North song was on Bout It, Part It, Part 3, and that's because it was his
beat. True.
There you go. There you go. It was too easy for him. He hopped on that bitch with a verse already in mind.
I represent the world. I represent the South. Now the world's going to feel it's like, what?
Yeah. Look, but thing is, Rich Master P was on 4-3-2-1.
Okay.
As soon as he said, that's all he needed to say. All he needed to say was, nigga.
We can all agree to disagree, but I.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I'm biased, but I think that's one of the best verses he's ever spit.
No way.
Could go back in time and take something away, it would be to take P off of that song.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because he wasn't really needed on it.
Anybody else in the world. It's been a lot of horrible songs in the world, but we just need P erased off the timeline off that song.
That one and fucking Jay-Z off Juvenile High Remix.
I can't take him
off that. Come on, man.
Of that
brat. Yeah, you
gotta
get
that off
just for that.
It's the brat part. Come on, Jay. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the thing is, Jay went on that bitch lazy. You can't tell me he didn't go on that bitch lazy. Look, man, I'm about to jump on these. I'm about to jump on this Cash Money album so I can get down south a little bit. I knew the game plan.
You know what I think that was though? I think that was a favor for a favor.
It was.
Jay-Z was on the Hot Remix, and Juvenile was on Jay-Z's Volume 3 album. What was the name of that song?
Slow.
You know, we ride all day. But he just did the chorus.
Yeah.
I mean, the chorus, most of the song.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard track, too. Volume 3 is one of my classics, too.
But you know, an underrated classic.
It's an underrated classic.
And yeah,
I love that.
As a matter of fact, my favorite Jay-Z song is on that album.
What's that?
That whole album, raw to
my favorite Jay-Z song of all time is on that album. For those who don't know it, I want you to go to YouTube, type in Digga 2K6, and look at the video that says Freestyling in the Car with Mark. My favorite Jay-Z song plays in that.
Oh, Lord.
What's the song, though?
I can't tell you. That's what I said. You want me to do your homework.
You want me to do the whole scavenger hunt?
Exactly.
YouTube,
you know, no, you know what? I'm not going to do that to y'all. But my favorite Jay-Z song of all time is There's Been a Murder.
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
We don't say nothing.
Okay.
There's Been a Murder is my favorite Jay-Z song of all time. Ooh. Not only is the song well-produced, it's very cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you think of one of the best songs that Jay spit, not only was the song rugged and raw, not only did it tell a dope story, production was key. That song actually made me want to be a producer.
So, where do you rate Volume 3 in the Jay-Z albums?
Jay-Z has 13 albums, right?
Maybe 10. Yeah. I would say it's in the middle
because my favorite Jay-Z CD of all time, of course, everybody knows, is Reasonable Doubt.
I mean, that's not mine.
Well, book Reasonable Doubt it. So when you,
I
go
mean,
to-
I put it as number one because that's his album that he took his whole life to make, as he always says. But we can't knock American Gangster, man.
We can't
knock American Gangster.
Volume 3 is in the middle to me.
That's
very middle of the road Jay for me, because the thing about it is the tracks that are good on that album are extremely good. The tracks that are bad
are extremely bad.
What tracks are bad on there?
Okay, so the song So Ghetto.
What? That's a bad song, DJ Premier?
Yeah, I don't care if it's DJ Premier. It could have been DJ Diggs.
What? She said, hold to the do-rag off. I said, what? Come on.
And then that's when I dropped the hoe back
Jigga
off.
Jigga made you wrist hit the do-rag off, hit a U-turn, mom dropping you back off. Come on, man.
Okay.
Come on, man.
What's it called?
I only like four songs off the album.
Put Your Hands Up, Do It Again was a whack.
Two Guns.
A whack first single.
No, I actually like that song.
It was. No, Two Guns. Two Guns, give me your top three Jay-Z albums, bro.
My top three Jay-Z albums?
Top three.
Reasonable Doubt.
Okay.
Hard Not Life. And...
All right.
I'm going to go with Rock La Familia.
Yeah, those albums are interchangeable.
No, not that album.
Why do you not say Rock La Familia?
Because it was a thrown together album that was supposed to be a group album that they changed their mind and made it a Jay-Z album.
No, this is why. Have you ever heard Jay-Z talk about that album? The reason why it became essentially a Jay-Z solo album is because Bleak was lazy, Siegel was lazy, Emil was lazy. Jay-Z says, I shouldn't beat my artists to the studio.
Freeway just got there.
Yep.
You're right.
He said, I shouldn't beat my artist in the studio. And by the time they said, well, what track do you want us to work on? I was done.
I got you. But this is what I'm saying. Y'all going to put that album over American Gangster?
I am.
Yep.
You crazy! Okay. American Gangster? Come on,
American
man.
Gangster was the return of... Hold on,
Black
wait a minute.
Album?
American Gangster was the return of full form Jay because he had the Kingdom Come debacle. Like, Kingdom Come was Jay-Z with the 4-5 Jordan.
Yeah, I'm just practicing. Like, I'm coming back out the... Okay, I got you. That's, Kingdom Come is his worst album to me.
I can agree with you.
But come on, Blueprint? Blueprint? Come on, man.
Okay, like I said, Jay-Z's top five albums are interchangeable. Because one day I might feel like volume two.
It's all depending on what mood you in.
Yeah, one day I might feel like volume two.
I'm not going to front. I do put on Rock La Familia, but I'm in my really gangster gutter mode. I want to hit that 1-900 Hustler. I want to hit the intro. You know what I'm saying? The theme song to The Sopranos.
The intro had one of the hardest Jay lines ever.
I got you.
The nigga said, you move and you acting too suspicious. This is food for thought. You do the dishes.
I got you, man. But that album have a skip value to it that I don't.
What's
the skip
skippable?
Value to it? The one.
Okay, no, wait, hold on.
I skipped one song on that, and that's Guilty Till Proven Innocent. That one, and You're the Rope. What's that song they got with Snoop Dogg?
Get your mind right.
Skip that one.
But that song has one of the best verses in history.
And I'm gonna tell you another whack song on there.
Don't say it.
Man, it got the West Coast beat that doom 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 doom. The Who's That Bleak? No, Who's That?
Oh, we talking about Change the Game?
Yeah, Change the Game. No,
good night, everybody.
What?
Good night, everybody. Apparently, this nigga does not know what he's talking about.
You crazy. That whole West Coast thing that they trying to do with that?
Rick Rock produced
it. Come on, man.
Rick Rock is known for producing Keep the Sneak,
D-40. That doesn't mean... That's what I'm saying. That whole West Coast, that wasn't their thing, man.
All right, but...
No, dog, that's it.
Can we not agree that Scarface's best verse ever was on... Rock La Familia.
You said Scarface?
Yes.
Ooh.
Now, as I walk into the studio to do this with Jig, I got a phone call from one of my niggas. My homeboy V. He just lost one of his kids. And when I heard that, I just broke into tears.
Dropped into kids. Yeah, I got you. That's a good, bro. That song right there is timeless.
Let me tell you why Rock La Familia should not be so low on your totem pole. Because that right there proved, like I said, with the whole Rick Rock track, right? Yeah. You had Rick Rock as a producer. You had Pharrell as a producer. You had DJ Premier. DJ Clue did production, right?
Well, you know, Jay-Z always gets the big names. He's like one of the only people who can get all those people at one time.
And you know what's so funny? Yeah. If you look at Volume 2, who produced It's All Right?
Dame Dash.
I don't know that one.
Dame Dash.
Really? Oh, yes. Man, y'all give me some gems. Y'all give me some gems right now. I appreciate that. That's one of my favorite songs.
Nobody knew Dame Dash could produce.
Man, yeah, you gave me some gems on that one. I appreciate that one.
So one thing that I
said, one of my favorite songs of all time,
Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads.
Yep.
Yeah.
But one thing that I say about Volume, not Volume Two, but the Rock La Familia, mm-hmm. was not only was Jay lyrically sharp, Jay was sharp enough to get everybody to shine.
Mm-hmm.
Bro. Without dulling his own knife.
Y'all not finna put that album with Blueprint.
No, we're not putting it over the Blueprint. What we're saying is these albums are interchangeable. Jay has one of the only discographies. Huh?
Reasonable Doubt.
Say what?
I actually like Blueprint more than I like Reasonable Doubt.
Oh, well.
I'm with you. I'm with you too, guys.
I can't say that though.
I give Reasonable Doubt its respect.
Because but it's Reasonable a good Doubt
album. It's a crazy album. I'm not knocking that.
Reasonable Doubt is so much with so little.
Man, that Blueprint.
It's a little boring to me.
But it did so much with so little.
Let me ask y'all something. Holy Grail.
Magna Carta Holy Grail? I love to see it.
Holy Grail. We all put that at. That when that nigga dropped that shit, I lost my mind. Cause we ain't gonna get on 444. Everybody know 444. I mean,
we're talking about the Wendy's meal. I'm joking.
But Holy Grail was that album that everybody was on the fence with, and I rocked that album. I rocked it.
Here's the thing about Magna Carta Holy Grail. Two Gun will be back in a minute. This happens all the time.
Yeah, I just heard it. I was like, what's that?
Yeah, Two Gun will be back in a minute. This happens all the time. Mm-hmm. The thing about Magna Carta Holy Grail that I enjoyed the most was Jay-Z is the only person who's been able to reinvent himself more than five times in hip-hop game.
There you go.
And not lose anybody.
There you go.
So when Jay was reinventing the Carta Holy Grail, I followed where he was going, because the first track, Holy Grail, explained, this is where I'm at in life, this is what the album's going to be about. You win some, you lose some, this is where we're at.
Yeah, I hated that Tom Ford song with a passion.
What? Come on, Two Guns, man. Look, okay, since I'm on here, right, I know y'all niggas are some deep underground rapper type guys. You cannot tell me you did not like Tom Ford.
I hated it.
Are you riding your will? Why do you hate it?
I just didn't like it.
I'm gonna tell you my favorite song on an album that nobody mentions.
Oh, man. What's up?
The song BBC. Does not get the credit it deserves.
Yeah, you're right.
And not only that, not only did Nas kill his verse, when Jay came on, you know, spitting the Mace line, what you know about going out? I was like,
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it, though. The only thing that killed me about Magna Carta Holy Grail was it ended with Jay-Z Blue and Nickels and Dimes. Those are two weak songs to close the album.
Yeah.
I haven't bought a Jay-Z album since
Black Album. And I don't blame you for that.
Two Guns, man. You come on, man.
Hold on. You can't be that cool, my nigga.
I'm telling you.
No, Two Guns.
I wasn't impressed with that.
You know, Two Guns. Hey, Two Guns. You listen to the Joe Budden podcast show?
Nah. I've caught it every now and then.
When I listen to y'all show, you remind me of Maul on the Joe Budden podcast show. That nigga is like, whatever everybody else like, he like, nah, nigga, we ain't on that. Like, my nigga, come on.
That's kind of how it's always been. That's kind of how it always been.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Two Guns. All right. Two Guns. Come on.
Let me give you a story. Let me tell you how Two Guns and I met.
Kind of met.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I'm about to say, let me tell you how Two Gun and I met. We were in what is it, social studies?
It was world geography.
Mm-hmm. So him and I had a Source magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, you like music? So I'm like, yeah, we started talking about the magazine and everything. And he said, so what do you think about Raekwon's only built for Cuban links? I said, yeah. I've never heard it. He stopped conversation with me and says, I can't talk to you about hip-hop until you hear the CD. And did not talk to me for the rest of the day. So, literally, I had to go to all my friends and just say, hey, you got this album? Do you got this album? And my friend Donnie Skelton had it. And he let me borrow it. So I listened to it that evening. And I came back and talked to him about it the next day in school. And everything was all back to normal. So I knew at that point that I'm dealing with a real hip-hop head here.
Yeah. I think
that was like first day of class. That was like the first day of school or some shit.
Yeah.
But Two Guns, you can't be that cool, my nigga. You can't be that cool, my guy.
Oh, but he can. Oh, but he can. Ask Two Guns if he heard Scorpion yet.
No, I'm about to get on that shit. Look.
I've never heard any Drake album all the way through.
There we go. He was that cool.
So, I don't know which one of y'all brought up the who was the most consistent in the last 10 years on the last part.
My brother did that.
And nobody mentioned Drake? I was losing my mind in the gym.
This is why I say Drake has not been consistent. Because he released Views from the Six and More Life. So, therefore, wait a minute. Release two lackluster albums that aren't commercially successful and critically successful, when you release Scorpion, which is both commercially and critically successful, you start over again.
But what album has he dropped that wasn't commercial successful?
I just named two. Views from the Six and More Life.
Bro, everybody was doing the... bro, hold on now. Hold on now. That song, Baby... Everybody was on One Dance. Don't play me on that one. And then on Scorpio, Shiggy did a whole goddamn dance.
Okay, wait.
Nice for what? Skipped
More Life.
Oh,
so
yeah,
therefore,
more. Okay, I got
so
you.
Therefore,
I think Views was actually commercially successful.
I love Views.
But it was commercially successful, but was it critically successful?
Exactly.
The first album. Therefore. When you release an album that stops your progress, you're not consistent. That's why I say Drake isn't consistent. Now,
name something that J. Cole did.
I consider Drake a hip hop artist. That's why I can't say Drake.
He's an entertainer.
He's an entertainer. I wouldn't say like hip hop, but you know he's an entertainer. But that nigga can spit though. I don't give a fuck what's going on.
He can.
I never denied the fact that he can spit.
Oh, okay. Okay,
but I just don't want my hotline to bling. I can't get.
But what we were talking about, and the reason why we did not say Drake, the reason why we did not say Drake is because Drake had stopping points. He wasn't consistent. Now, if I'm running a race, fall of the race, and you're out lapping me, and then I get up and finish the race, I can't say I was consistent because I took a nap.
Digga, nobody's been most consistent than Drake.
Have you heard of Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah, I have heard of Kendrick Lamar.
Have you heard of J. Cole? No,
they're not more consistent than Drake.
You can even say Logic.
Drake, no, don't do Logic. Don't do that. Don't do Logic.
You can even say Logic.
Don't do more consistent than Drake?
Yes.
I can go down the street right now, niggas not even heard of a fucking Logic.
But I bet you they heard of Kendrick and Cole.
But they're not more consistent than Drake.
Yes, they are.
I don't think they're more popular.
Drake is way more popular. He can jump on anybody.
But this isn't a popularity contest.
He's been doing, but bro, what are you talking about? Popularity leads to consistency.
No, it does not.
That's what it leads to.
No, it does not.
Come on. You wouldn't be out there doing that crazy ass dance on Block Boy JB if fucking Drake wasn't on it, my nigga.
Okay, well, here's the thing. He wasn't consistent. Like I said, Views from the Six and More Life. You refuse to talk about More Life, and I'm trying to figure out why, because you know Drake wasn't consistent.
Why you gotta put me on the spot like that, bro? Why you gotta put me on the spot?
Because the thing about it, you know he wasn't consistent.
I give you that. More Life wasn't that album.
There we go. So therefore, you really can't talk about his consistency if he had.
No, he still was consistent with features. Drake still being big. Come on,
but
man.
He released an
Don't
album.
Disrespect Drake like that. Don't disrespect Drake like
he
that.
He disrespected himself. He released the album. I didn't.
Come on, man. Drake is everywhere. You can't kill him. You can't kill Drake. You can't kill him.
You know who can kill him, though? Himself.
Yeah, himself can. But Pusha T.
There you go.
Pusha T was close.
It's Nicki Minaj.
But you can't kill a Drake.
I put Drake in the same category as a Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that was their camp. That's what they did. You know what I'm saying? They're going to make music to please everybody. But Nicki Minaj really went pop. Like, she really went pop.
So did Drake.
Nah.
Immediately.
Could Drake give you bars? Drake give you bars on the album, though. Don't get it twisted, man.
But he still releases pop songs.
Why y'all disrespecting Drake like this, man? Because I am offended.
He disrespected himself.
I am offended right now that y'all disrespecting Drake like this.
If you're not everybody. Listen to a Drake album, the only one I could listen to is So Far Gone. If I had to listen. And I only had, what, 8 songs on it?
Nothing was the same. If you're reading this, it's too late. And I'll give you views. Man. Come on, man. Y'all can't be that cool. Y'all can't be that cool.
Can't do it.
Nothing was the same.
I can't do it either.
Nothing was the same. Two Guns. You know, Two Guns, me, you're going to have we're going to have a different conversation. We got to talk privately.
I just hate Drake.
Every time I listen to the show, I'll be like, goddamn Two Guns, man. Goddamn Two Guns, man.
Songs that you think I wouldn't listen to, that I listen to, that are softer than baby shit, and Drake is never one of those songs.
So who you listen to, man? Let's do this. Who you rocking? Well, I ain't gonna say that because you're probably gonna say like Helter Skelter or some shit like that.
Consistently, who do I listen to?
Yeah. Like, okay, you got off work, you about to hop in your whip. You know what I'm saying? You about to ride off. Who you listen to?
Oh, I can answer this question. Either Wu-Tang or Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
Man, you too deep. You too cool for me, Two Guns. You too deep.
Shit like that, Gangstar, Capone and Noriega. Yeah.
Are you from South Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay. The thing is, I listen to everybody you listen to, but I have a balance, and I think you refuse to do the balance.
Now I got a balance. I got a deal. Yeah, I got a balance now.
What's your balance?
But
now this is saying that you're gonna say something that is gonna really like confuse me. What's your balance?
I listen to everything. Regularly, I listen to everything, but it's only certain people who I will listen to from those areas.
Okay, let's
you know
this,
what I mean? Call out a state, I'll tell you who I listen to from that state.
All right. Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Georgia. No, that's not a state, but the city of Atlanta.
Ghetto Mafia. Jeezy, Pastor Troy, Goody Mob, Outkast.
We might be friends again. We might be friends again, Two Guns.
He's on his shit, people.
What's your Pastor Troy? Because Pastor Troy is a god. I'm from Georgia.
So what's my Pastor Troy?
Yeah, give me your Pastor Troy.
Champion.
Ooh, okay, Two Guns. I see where you're going.
You know what mine is?
What?
Can't Change Me.
Okay.
That's a Troy for President album.
That's a classic. That was more like a mixtape, but classic.
Yeah, that's old Pastor Troy.
Yeah, old Pastor Troy. I think we agree. This new Pastor Troy with the cowboy boots and the button-up shirt. I don't know what the fuck that nigga doing now. Right. The old Pastor Troy. We ready, I declare war. That whole era. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying,
everything
okay.
No. Everything Pastor Troy up until, I want to say, Saddam.
Okay. Well, okay.
No, everything that. for me was the Troy album.
Okay, yeah. No. We'll go even the one after that. what is it, Feel Me or Kill Me?
Something to that nature.
I'm not even going to go that far. It was Face Off 2. That's when I stopped. Face Off 2.
I kept going. I'm one of those niggas who gonna buy your album just because I think nobody else is gonna buy the shit.
No, I feel you. I'm the same way. This my loyalty to Pastor Troy. Right. I kept getting the album. I'm not even gonna fret. I kept getting the album. But it's getting hurt each time.
As bad as some of Pastor Troy's later albums, I think they are, have the same amount of listenable songs as people who get played every day on the radio.
Oh, wait, Two Gun.
Yeah.
Two Gun. I forgot to tell you. This episode right here, we talked about R. Kelly for 30 minutes, dog.
Oh, yeah, we did.
He's trying to find R. Kelly. Like, see, my whole thing is, I grew up on R. Kelly. Like, everybody know, like, I used to like that nasty-ass sexual R&B shit because I was little and I wanted to be nasty. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But nobody trying to be that fucking nasty. It's the point where you gotta be like, it's too much.
Because you know as you get older, you be like, man, do y'all hear the hell this shit this nigga was saying? You was saying some crazy shit.
My grade, and I'm only 15 years old.
That's what I was telling. I was telling Digga that when I was 15, 16, right around when I got my license and stuff, I didn't really understand what he was getting at. Now that I'm 34.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this nigga was wildin'.
And the crazy part is when the R. Kelly sex tape came out, I think me and Digga was 16 and the bitch was 15.
Yeah.
I'm like, goddamn, R. Kelly. You was a grown ass since I was a little kid. You always been a grown ass man, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, that's a nasty bitch right there. And I don't care what nobody said, R. Kelly did that shit.
He did that shit. Whatever he said he did that shit.
Oh, trust me, I know.
And the weird part is, like, when you have stardom like R. Kelly has, if you want to fuck young bitches, man, do that shit out of the country.
Nah, man. I don't want to condone it, period.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not condoning it either. But if you're going to do some shit like that for real with that much amount of money you got, take your ass to a third world country and find a little bitch in the village and have sex with her.
Oh, he was.
You know what I'm saying?
But he did that in Africa. He was there to recruit in Africa. This my thing.
But don't be sad about your hometown going to the high school you went to talk about being great and you trying to get numbers.
Right. But this my thing too, guys. You are Kelly. Why do you have to get a 15-year-old? You're R. Kelly. You can get any broad. You can get any broad out there.
I have a question, but you know, some of these little 15, 16-year-old girls look older than they are, even though now, you know they're not.
So we all from similar backgrounds, right? Now the girl that I dated when I was 16, she already had a baby. In my hood, babies was born at 15, 16. You know what I'm saying? Like girls was having baby at 15, 16. Right, because they look growner than what they is. They usually have a baby from an older nigga, or whatever. So it's in hindsight, it's nothing new to us. I think once we start having kids and stuff, that's when we started like coming to our conscience, like our conscience start playing the play. But if I'm R. Kelly,
you gonna get locked the fuck up when you 19 years. And you still basically a child, but you can get locked up for this 16-year-old girl who dicked in a grown-ass woman? Something got to go through your head.
That's what I said.
Two guns. That's what I was trying to explain to Digger. That's a mental issue. You can go to jail and be on the fucking pedophile list as a sex offender, and you still doing it. That's a mental health issue, man.
That's you got to get checked. If you need the box so young, take a flight to Thailand, my nigga, and be happy.
I went to Thailand.
Like at the end of the day, stop fucking little black girls at that.
But this is the thing, two guys. You are Kelly. You can get any broad in the world. Why are you messing with these young teenagers?
You can see like literally on the pussy. I don't know. But it's something wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe he likes bitches to smell like Surge or some shit or Mellow Yellow. But
no, because he said Mellow. Did you say Mellow Yellow?
Yeah.
Nigga, who drinks Mellow Yellow? Y'all still got Mellow Yellow in South Carolina?
Yep.
15-year-olds oh, drink shit. Mellow Yellow. They love oh, Mountain Dew and Mellow Yellow.
Yes.
That's all I drank at 15. Well, when I was 15, I drank Mellow Yellow and Sprite.
I ain't gonna front, man. I mean, I did too. You know what I'm saying? That shit gave me a rush.
Mellow Yellow and Sprite was my drinks.
Wick your ass up at third period.
But at the end of the day, man, you are Kelly, man. You have the ability to get any bad bitch in the world.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And you chose to mess with a girl that's underage. That's like a problem to me. Multiple, I mean, he could have got it's R. Kelly, my nigga. It's R. Kelly.
He makes that's what I'm saying. Like, I could understand it if he was doing it out of the country because where shit really don't matter. But this ain't the 1920s. You just can't be going around getting little girls from the park and shit, getting them from Frankie's Fun Park. 35.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm. Why was it not okay for R. Kelly, but okay for people like Jerry A. Lewis?
It wasn't okay. Nigga in jail. What you talking about? That nigga in jail.
You got to realize, though, and I'm going to say this with all my... America is a nasty-ass place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that comes from a lot of shit that European people was doing since way back in the day. Like in Michigan right now, a grown-ass man could marry a 14-year-old with their parents' permission.
Fuck out of here.
You know what I mean? Even though it's perfectly legal, why would you want to?
Right.
You know what I mean? Y'all can't even carry on a conversation. She trying to get a Happy Meal and you trying to not get a Happy Meal. Like, what the fuck are y'all doing with each other? Back then, that was... you know what I mean? Like, a 30-year-old and a 16-year-old, that wasn't uncommon. And have as many kids as you can so they can take care of the property.
Yeah.
Now you just doing it out of pure fun or just being indecent.
Get the fuck out of here.
No, well, you know, back in those days, once a girl got her period, she was considered a grown woman.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it was. That's how it was back in those days. Once you get a period, you can have babies, and that was the norm. I mean, I guess girls get, periods at 12, 13 now, right?
That's
the average, right? So back in those days, and you got to count to the fact that the life expectancy of anybody was like 40, right? So it was the norm back then.
I hate being around my daughters when they're obvious.
I got you, mom. She just turned 11 in November. So I know my time is coming with her.
Oh, dog.
But with two guns, they're saying...
Listen. Yeah, listen to me. It's crazy. Good. When your daughters start ovulating, they become bitches.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to have I'm going to have my daughter and my wife in the house going crazy. You know, their parents... Yeah, they should be cycling up at the same time. It should be syncing up and shit.
Leave. Well, at least you can get them all in the same week.
Mm-hmm.
Leave.
But with two guns, just leave house. Though, I feel what two guns are saying though. It was uncommon back in the day. But now, you know, we got to understand.
Nobody had the money to pick and choose who the fuck they wanted. Yeah. You just had to snatch.
Yeah.
But you know, the difference between back then and nowadays, the mental state. Back then, those 12-year-old girls was working farms, you know what I'm saying, already. Word. Taking a household, working, whatever the case may be. It's not like that today.
Gross.
Even back then,
those 12-year-old girls were actually taking care of their little brothers and sisters like grown women.
There was grown women,
But you didn't see these bitches wild out like Michael Jackson talk about I ain't had no childhood.
You don't know what they were doing back in the day.
Nobody had a childhood back then because you didn't know what childhood was. You thought childhood was picking pecans and you know what I mean? Walking 5 miles to the store for some bread and a can of tuna or some shit.
Yeah. But y'all, this show has actually been running for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
Cut this short. Well, you know, I came in late. I'm sure I missed a lot.
Oh yeah, you did. You got to re-listen. You got to re-listen to it. I mean, there was a lot of good subject matter.
I actually got to check out Surviving R. Kelly because I just got to listen to what these people are saying.
Oh yeah, I already got that shit on DVR.
So
because I have to figure out what, I got to figure out whether I'm taking his songs off my playlist or not.
Oh nigga, you not on that level yet?
Not yet. Like anything, man. up until everything before Double Up, I'm still good with R. Kelly. Anything after that, I'm not good with R. Kelly. But this is going to be, everything before that, I'm good. But this is going to let me know whether I'm taking Bump and Grind remix and Your Body's Calling Me off my playlist.
Hey, but check this out, too, guys. I'm gonna go ahead and do a spoiler alert. Go ahead and take this shit off your playlist.
Goddamn.
You're going to take that shit off the playlist once you watch that shit. It's Surviving R. Kelly. They're going to give you all the dirt.
Goddamn R. Kelly.
Yeah, so, I know, right? I know.
All right, Soup Forever.
Yeah.
I need you to do a closing outro and plug your show.
I got you. Hey, man. I'm Soup Forever, man. I host the MID podcast show. MID stands for Moguls, Innovating, and Diverse. If anybody want to ask what the acronym is about, that's what it means. But the MID podcast show, you catch it on Apple Music, Spotify, Google Play, and SoundCloud. And also on my IG, it's at MID podcast. You know what I'm saying? So follow me. I'll be dropping the show tomorrow. I do my podcast shows on Fridays, and it'll probably be up on Saturday morning. But at the end of the day, man, at MID podcast, follow me. I hit you back, and everything is love.
Too good.
You know, fuck R. Kelly. that's all I want to say tonight.
Word. As I always send say, them, I want
to, you know, always all my female listeners send nudes to
my two underscore gun underscore Tony on Instagram. The number two underscore gun underscore Tony. That's on Instagram. All right, and I want to thank Soup Forever for being such a gracious co-host.
Anytime, bro.
I want to thank my co-host, Two Gun Tony, Tony Gazzo.
Hey.
Always there in a clutch.
Too and cool, Two thank- Guns. That's what I'm going to start calling you. Too cool, Two Guns.
I don't want to do my podcast in the car coming down the highway.
And I want to thank you, listeners. You guys are what keeps the show running. So, other than that, good night, everybody.
Gotcha. Hey, man, thanks for having me on, man.
No problem, homie. No problem.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.